Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with GSA Deputy Associate Administrator John Sindelar. Also joining us in our conversation is Peter Sobich. John, can you tell us about the goals of OGP, the Office of Government-Wide Policy, and how these goals fit into the broader GSA?
Sure. Simply put, the goal of OGP, the Office of Government-Wide Policy, is to improve management government-wide. So essentially, we work on policies, best practices, regulatory efforts that will improve various areas that GSA has authority for in terms of their operational carrying out of those services. For example, electronic government, e-authentication as it relates to electronic government. That is a way of validating you are who you say you are on the other end of the internet. That is absolutely essential in order to have electronic government that conducts transactions on a daily basis electronically with its citizens, between each other, and with other governments. That validation or that e-authentication is we have a policy that NIST has worked the standards, that OMB has developed, that has to be implemented by the various agencies. Office of Government-Wide Policy will work with those agencies and how best to meet those standards and that policy that's been provided. And we work with the Federal Technology Service, which is now the Federal Acquisition Service at the General Services Administration, to do that.
John, can you tell us about the Quicksilver Task Force and how this led to the e-government initiatives?
Well, actually, the Quicksilver Task Force came into being in August of 2001, but it was the result of the president's initiative to reform the government's management agenda, which I think he announced in a speech in Philadelphia on a campaign trail in July of 2000. But he established, when he won the presidency, the president's management agenda and identified five different areas for improvement in government-wide management. One of them was the implementation of electronic government. And he recruited Mark Forman to lead that effort at the time in the summer of 2001. And Mark had done something similar to the Quicksilver Task Force in Washington State. And the idea was find areas where you have that are cross-cutting in terms of cutting across various organizations that as a big payoff to citizens and citizen-facing activities and doable in an 18 to 24-month time period. So we established this task force, and again, we worked across the various agencies and had 75 different folks that represented all of the agencies working with us. And we essentially went around to the deputy secretaries that were coming into the administration and identified the inventory of major IT systems that were under development or were operating today and began to identify where we had some redundancy and overlap and in terms of their functionality and the citizens that they served or businesses that they served. And would provide a significant financial impact in terms of cost savings or cost avoidance and improve performance to its citizens by looking at opportunities to consolidate those. And what we narrowed that down to 24 eGov initiatives, which I think is 25 now, depending on who's counting. And that's how the 24, 25 eGov initiatives were born from the period of August 2001 to October when the President's Management Council approved the 24.
So then how is GSA playing a major role in the President's Management Agenda's e-government initiatives?
Well, in October 2001, when the President's Management Council met, they literally asked for volunteers, Clay Johnson, given the nature of what each of the agencies represented in terms of their functionality. But our administrator, Steve Perry, quite literally volunteered to do five initiatives that we have a certain – well, we have a stake in making sure that they are done efficiently and effectively. And that ended up to be the e-travel service, electronic travel service, USA services that we can talk about a little bit later, integrated acquisition. I've mentioned e-authentication and federal asset sales.
So with GSA as sort of a managing partner for these five e-government initiatives, how are you bringing together interagency teams to collaborate?
Well, we've actually already done that. We have five different areas within GSA that have managed us, and these particular initiatives, some more than others, have matured. And we have done that by working through the various interagency councils like the CIO Council, the Chief Acquisition Officers Council, the Chief Human Capital Officers, and, of course, the Chief Financial Officer. So working with those folks as well as key staff across agencies that work for them, we've been able to get a governance structure in some places that are, that is fairly well established now, sustained revenue source for paying for services provided. And so we've made a fair amount of progress, a lot of progress in some of them.
Can you talk a little bit more specifically about the types of progress being made?
Well, for example, e-travel service is an electronic travel service that will replace outdated and in some cases still labor-intensive travel systems that there is a proliferation of across government. And so essentially we are working and have established, signed today, 24 memorandums of understanding. With the large agencies, some would characterize as cabinet-level agencies, agreements to move towards the electronic travel service. And we have three vendors that are rolling us out across government. And, in fact, the system itself takes the travel from the point of the reservation itself, making your travel reservation, all the way to the payment of voucher. And we're doing is standardizing that process across government and eliminating a lot of duplication, a lot of single proprietary solutions in small agencies or within agencies, and beginning to get a standardization that we estimate will save $450 million over 10 years. USA Services is an integrated communications effort, where we have established an 800 number, 1-800-FED-INFO, with FirstGov, which is the official U.S. federal website, with frequently asked questions and a misdirected email capability for agencies into one integrated package. That, by the way, has helped citizens who sought relief as a result of Katrina. FirstGov had a lot of information and links for citizens to access. Integrated acquisition, essentially government procurement systems. Every agency has multiple systems. The integrated acquisition environment effort essentially integrates procurement systems across government and today provides what they call Federal Business Opportunities, nicknamed acronym FedBizOps, which any opportunity over $25,000, all the solicitations are issued on this FBO system, Federal Business Operations. So if you remember the old Commerce Business Daily, that is no longer published. Just saving the number of trees has cut a lot of cost and saved a lot of trees. It's all done electronically. Federal Procurement Data System, it produces data on contracts that Congress uses heavily to see what's being done in their own district. There are 12 million contracts online. There's a central contract registration program that allows vendors to register with the government to do business, and there's a past performance module within that system that you can check to see how this particular contractor was evaluated for previous efforts. And then I've talked about e-authentication, where we're essentially providing the policy as well as the technical specifications, and we just kicked off not too long ago a large pilot with Fidelity Corporation and the Social Security Administration to actually use the validation online. And we've got a list of credential service providers, which are the ones that actually validate the use of a PKI certificate.
John, you mentioned fidelity. In designing these systems and processes, as you looked at the e-government initiatives, did you look at best practices from other industries?
Absolutely. In fact, that's why we're partnering with Fidelity, because they have one of the best practices in terms of authentication and what they've done for the programs that they require validation using the Internet to do business electronically with their customers. And they have some very large customers in terms of corporations. So, yes. And, in fact, what we are really trying to do in the authentication area with the validation and the Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12 is essentially build a secure way of doing business and accessing federal buildings and eventually computers in a standard way. So essentially it's an interstate for doing business electronically. And we could not do that without partnering with the private sector. They have the technology and know-how that we need.
John, I'm going to paraphrase here. You've said that the goal of eGov is to drop the E from the initiatives. Can you elaborate on this a little bit?
What I mean by that is simply that information technology someday will be ubiquitous. It is getting – you get products that are smaller and smaller. Our clothes have the capability of having some computing know-how and glasses that you can – well, you know, I don't need to repeat everything that we have. But essentially when I'm – the E and E government, the use of information technology in our lines of business and the policy lines and so forth, it will no longer be talked about as a separate effort. The important thing to understand is electronic government is not an end to itself, that we are transforming how the government does business, that technology and information technology is a tool by which we get it done. And actually, I think in some ways, when we did Quicksilver, and it's a natural evolution over time with the advances of technology, but we did ourselves a bit of a disservice because I think it was thought of as just an IT initiative. And maybe that's how we characterized it as we started. But in fact, what we are doing is using information technology as well as other technology to change how we do business.
Well, John, when our clothes can wash and launder themselves, I think we'll know that we've arrived. How is GSA supporting the line of business concept across government agencies? We will ask GSA Deputy Associate Administrator John Sindelar to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.